Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable. This episode, Melodious Mark becomes the true master as he devises the ultimate game involving plentiful pawn action. Warm-hearted Wade calls Shakira's hip a liar, bashes the bishop, and copies Bob's moves. Browbeaten Bob pisses on Picasso, Cameo, and Carlson, then makes a bomber queen and unleashes a plague. From book challenges to mutual nuclear annihilation. Yes, it's time for Chess 3. Now sit back and prepare to be distracted and enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to the brand new, amazing, incredible episode full of great ideas and hosted by someone who knows what they're doing. Me! I'm that guy, Markiplier. Welcome back if you're joining us again from a previous instance of listening to this podcast and or watching it. And also, welcome to the new, where you are only now just finding this through probably just like a recommendation from a friend. And this is a great introduction because I'm giving a great introduction.
You're right, Mark.
Hi, yes. These guys right here, these are great guys. These are, might be the greatest guys. Wonderful souls.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful minds. One could say beautiful minds.
3 points for Mark for beautiful minds.
Thank you, yes. And the reason he gave points is because he's making a joke about how the fact that I'm the judge and I give points, but he's saying that because it's referencing nothing or that. I'm in a bit of a tizzy. I had so many things fail so quickly trying to get this episode ready. I was trying to pursue ideas for it, and I've cooked up something that I think everyone's going to love. But let me tell you, straight up, I'm not confident. I have no idea how this is going to go. I'm reinventing the wheel here. Not spinning a wheel, but I'm reinventing it.
People always say you should reinvent the wheel, so I'm glad you're doing that.
Wheels are stupid. They need reinvented.
I concur.
Wheels are fair.
That's not a wheel.
That's not a wheel. Or it's a very bad wheel.
You can roll on these.
I guess that's true. If you were representing the lens cap, then you're spot on.
It's very Illuminati with the eye in the middle. If there was an eye on this lens cap, that would be very...
Well, we are secret members.
Even to myself, I didn't know this.
Public secret members, Mark.
There's public record.
Well, if that's the case, then we better get it on public record what crazy lives we've been living.
Oh, you want to know about the crazy lives we've been living. Okay, I hear you, I got you. Molly had a birthday.
Wait, that sounds good. Why are you saying it like that?
I was trying to think of what has been happening. That's the event I remember that's happened recently. You know, so there's a TikTok challenge that I don't know if it's where it started. I assume that's where it started. But basically, she's big into reading, and she wanted to do this TikTok challenge where you are given 5 minutes to go into a bookstore. And there's two ways to do it. You either have the full 5 minutes to go in, grab as many books as you can, and then check out. Or there's a method where you have like 3 minutes to look around, then 2 minutes to go grab whatever you can and then check out. She did that method. So she wanted to do that for her birthday. So we did. We went to a small bookstore. She went, looked around for 3 minutes, went and ran around for 2 minutes. I think she came out of the bookstore with 8 books. She said it was more stressful than she thought it would be, but it was fun. But she said, she's like, I found all these books I wanted in the 3 minutes, then the 2 minutes. I couldn't remember where anything was.
I get that, like, you guys paid for that. So it was your, I just think it would have been really funny if she did it like people do when it's like a shopping spree, when you win it, when the company's paying. Just go in, just get as big a cart or basket as you can, and just like, I don't even know what books these are. Like, just maximum amount of things to purchase. And then you check out, and she's like, oh, right. Here's my credit card. I'm paying for this.
You wanted 500 copies of A Handmaid's Tale?
I never thought we were going to sell all these re-released Chicken Soup for the Souls, but I'm glad you needed them.
The Scarlet Letter, we've never sold a copy of that. You bought 300 copies? It's an awful book.
Awful? Wow, that is bold.
Least, it's the worst book I've ever read in my life of all books I've read.
Assessments aside, it's very commonly read by a lot of high school students in America.
The story itself is not bad. The way it's written is horrible. That author needs to go back to school forever. Nathaniel Hawthorne, terrible. Terrible person. Terrible writer. In fact, I don't know what kind of person he is, but for writing that book and the way he wrote it, he's a terrible person.
This might be the boldest proclamation I've ever heard from you, Wade.
I've talked about that book before. There is nothing that I have read that is... I would rather read the dictionary than that book ever again.
Reminds me of... Mark, do you know the Brian Regan joke about Picasso and who judges what art is good.
Like, oh man, I don't remember.
Oh, it's just like a bowl of fruit. Hey, Pablo, you see how this one looks just like a bowl of fruit because he was trying to paint a bowl of fruit? You see how you got two eyes on the same side of the face over there? Yeah, maybe you need a camera. Maybe you need to go back to art school.
Oh man, I haven't listened to Brian Regan in a long time.
He has come out relatively recently. He's kind of sad now. He's divorced. And he's like, he went from being like funny, dumb, like, oh, I'm an idiot, to now he's like old, kind of bitter, divorced guy funny. It's like a big transformation. And compared to like Brian Regan of our high school and college years, it's very different.
Well, that's sad. Well,
after this glowing review, I'm sure he'll feel better and be back on top. He's a big, avid watcher of our podcast.
You know Brian Regan listens and watches to this. You know that.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where if we were praising people, they would never hear anything about it. But if we say anything negative, everyone's going to tweet at them.
That's true.
They hate you. Listen.
In that case, I think Shakira's left hip did lie to me once. Her left hip's a liar.
What did it lie about?
I don't know. I'm just hoping it gets to her. Now she acknowledges my existence, you know?
I could get you a cameo or something.
Is that a car? Oh, is that the thing where you pay people and they talk to you?
Would that make you happy?
No, it's okay. I've seen the kind of effort that's put into those. We've talked about the Antonio Brown one here before, right?
The Antonio Brown one? No, I don't think so.
We did talk about that a while. Long time ago.
Oh, it's where he like, happy
anniversary wedding. Right. Yeah. And I also hear it's your birthday. Like, he just, everything at once. And he's just like, one take. Doesn't matter. Fuck it. Send it. $500. That's not that much money. Send it.
I get that people enjoy those, and I'm not at all poo-pooing anyone if they want to do that. But I've never seen, and it's probably because the ones that get shared publicly are the funny ones, I've never seen a cameo that felt like anything other than the lowest possible effort. And even celebrities who you would think like, oh, that's chill. You know, like, they're probably same thing. It's always that same tone of like, hey, Jesse. Yeah, it's Jack Black. You know, your favorite funny man from the movies and music stuff. I heard it was your birthday. Like, it's always the same thing.
Now, okay, to be fair, anytime that I've met someone and they've handed me a phone and being like, can you say hi to my friend? I have the same problem because I'm like, they start recording and then I'm like, what's their name? Like, and then they're like, oh, it's so-and-so. And I'm like, hi, so-and-so. What should I say?
That used to happen at conventions all the time. Someone would come up, yeah, you want to do like a signature or photo or something. They're like, here's my phone. It's like,
thanks, I'll sell that.
No, my friend's on there. Say hi.
Hello, this is the IRS.
What?
You've been served.
Fuck!
Wait, you live a different life than us. No, I mean, I've done that too. But a cameo is something you record on purpose. Like, I'm not, because no one wants that, but if I was to do that, I would sit down ahead of time and be like, oh, this person's name, her name is Samantha, and it's her 30th birthday. Wow. And then, you know, not act like your situation you're describing when I'm the one who's deciding to record something on purpose. But, and no hate whatsoever, because that's basically what you get when you meet us at conventions too. Everyone comes up and I don't know how to talk to people, so I'm always like, hey, yeah.
Even after all this practice, still can't.
What do you want, a picture? Oh, okay. You're mostly here for Mark? Yeah, I thought so.
Okay, well. Anyway, small talk over, because it's now time for the greatest idea that we've ever had in this podcast, bar none.
I didn't small talk at all. That was just way small talk.
Do you want small talk?
I don't know. I didn't have anything that good. I egged myself really aggressively last night. And yes, it's exactly what you think.
I don't think this is an appropriate discussion.
I was literally getting an egg out of the refrigerator to like cook eggs. And somehow I nicked the egg on the corner of the refrigerator door and it cracked open. And my instinct was, it was out in front of me and I was like, oh no. And the egg just was in every direction. And that's on my own shirt in my own kitchen. So I had to clean that up. And that's it. Aren't you glad you circled back for that?
Yeah, I am, actually. That's a fascinating addition to what's occurring.
Hey, Mark. I heard you wanted some small talk. Yeah, it's me, your favorite distractible host.
Are you leaving me a cameo for small talk?
I'll do all my podcast interactions in the form of cameos now.
It's just an evolution of the soundboard of Bob, you know? Everything.
Happy New Year, Independence Day.
All right. Are you ready to have your minds blown at the incredible that I have prepared for you today? I have changed the game. literally. I have broken new ground and transcended beyond the realms of Game Master or Dungeon Master, because you can now call me whatever's above a Grand Master, because I have invented Chess 3!
Oh, no. Oh.
I would call it Chess 2, but Chess 2, that's already been invented, so.
There's a lot of pee-pee on this board.
There's some B's and some H's that I'm... Well, no, I know what the B's are. What's an H? Horse? Is that horse?
Right, because okay. I know it's a knight, but the king, there's only one letter, so...
For anyone who's not watching the video, available only on Spotify, it's a chess board, but all the pieces are represented by letters.
Yeah, well, I didn't have time to cut out the assets of everything. It works. It's
sure.
It's fine.
No, yeah, it's accurate. Yeah, I see it.
You're not seeing the genius that is.
Wait, there's got to be something else here, because what I'm getting so far is that instead of chess pieces, you put letters, and your idea is to have Bob and I play chess.
Can I ask before we get too far past this? You said this is Chess 3.
Yes.
What's Chess 2?
Chess 2, I think, was invented by Doug Doug or someone, and they it was a terrible version. It had lots of laws.
Okay,
it was basically
okay.
Broken. This one is very fair, extremely fair, actually, and evolves upon the concepts that he tried and failed to, you know, develop on. So when you think of chess, what do you think of?
Really smart people pressing the time button really quickly, playing something. And they're like, ah, you thought you had me, but I was 17 moves ahead of you.
Magnuson showing up late to his matches just to piss off his opponents. I think of that.
Is his name Magnuson?
I think of that group of kids that got made fun of incessantly at school for being part of chess club, because for some reason chess club gets real bad.
Magnuson Charlsonson.
Sarl, who's the good chess guy? Magnus Carlsen. There you go. Google knew what I meant. Carlsen showing up late to piss off his opponents. That's what I think of.
All right. Well, that has nothing to do with Chess 3. And I bet you were all laughing about how, it's letters and not images. Oh, man, Mark's too lazy and dumb. No, because guess what? With this chess, there's another component.
Numbers?
No, more letters. Bob, you're up first.
Which, am I white letters or black? I guess white letters.
Your word is eutrophorus.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Please spell eutrophorus. You can get a definition. I can't provide the country of origin.
Sure. What's the definition of eutrophorus?
Okay, eutrophorus. Containing yttrium or related to the presence of yttrium.
Yttrium. Eutrophorus. Eutrophorus. Yttrophorus. Eutrophorus.
That is incorrect.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, but you got the end part right, the beginning part wrong. Anyway, now, Bob, you didn't get that right, which means you get to make your move.
I don't know anything about chess, so I'm sure everyone's going to have a good laugh. Pawn to e5.
Pawn to e5. Good move. That's the bishop's gambit.
But can pawns move too?
Yeah, on the opening move they can.
Apparently Bob knows more than I remember.
Okay, for fairness, Wade, the first move a pawn makes off a starting position, it can move two forward, and then from then on it can only move one. But you can move one or two on your first pawn move. 'Tis a thing.
All right, Wade, are you ready?
Yeah.
Your word is Zugzwang.
Oh god. Is this German?
Zugzwang.
Zugzwang.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I can only give you the definition.
Okay, can you spell it in the definition?
If you make a bad move, you might find yourself zugzwanged.
Okay.
Z-U-G-Z-U-A-N-G.
So close. So close.
I'm going to guess you were one U short.
One letter.
There was probably a W in there.
Yeah, you're right. Instead of a U, it was a W. Very close. Anyway, now you can make your move.
Pawn to C4. That sounds explosive.
Son to C4. You got it. Okay, these are good moves.
All right, we got our PPs in the middle now.
All right, Bob, your word is quincunx.
Okay. What's the definition of quincunx?
An arrangement of five objects with four at the corners of a square or rectangle and the fifth at its center.
Quincunx.
Quincunx.
Quincunx. Q-U-I-N-C-U-N-X. Quincunks. Quincunks.
Oh, so close. Instead of KS, it was an X at the end.
X?
God, man.
Damn it. All right.
Elon got to it before you did.
All right, now's your move.
Pawn to D6.
Pawn to D6. All right, good move. This is the European defense or something like that. Wait.
This is the Scandinavian swizzle. Just you wait until I get into my Germanic jaunt.
I don't know what the hell is happening.
No, it's chess 3.
We might as well just play chess. I don't think we're spelling these words right.
No, you're gonna see if you can at least get a word right.
If we ever spell a word,
you dumbasses,
right,
we're never gonna do it.
Wade, your word is dactylion.
Oh, I know this word.
Okay, dactylion. Can you give me whatever it is you give me?
It is the tip of the middle finger.
Dactylion. D-A-C-T-I-L-L-I-O-N.
Ah, not quite.
A-N-I-A-N.
It had a Y. I could have pronounced that dactylion, but it...
Dac as in dactyl. Dactylion.
Mm. Okay, wait, what would you like your move to be?
Oh, pawn to D's nuts. let's just go D3.
D3. All right. Man, this is quite a nice lineup here.
Yeah, I'm trying just to match Bob for some reason. I like the symmetry of it. Plus, we both have PP together.
Your word, Bob, is gentacular.
Gentacular, not genticular.
Gentacular. Pertaining to breakfast taken early in the morning or immediately on getting up. Gentacular.
This word was a word that I used in my episode, Bob's Confusing Words.
Oops.
So,
uh-oh.
I hope I spell it right. Gentacular. G-E-N-T-A-C-U-L-L-A-R. Gentacular.
It's got a J.
Ah, damn it.
Man, I thought one of you would have gotten a word by now.
Nope. Why would you think that, Mark?
In our career where we type IDK for everything, of course we can spell Zugzwang.
No, I swear I'm picking the easier ones. Wade, or Bob, what's your move?
Hang on. The bishop to G4.
Bishop to G4. All right, and no one at home can complain that these are pure audio clues. You should all be painting the chessboard in your mind as to where all these pieces are. We are calling out.
You're all on the road to chess grandmaster, right? Can't you play a game of chess in your head just with letters and numbers callouts?
Exactly. So, wait, it's your turn. Your word is limerence.
Oh, no.
Limerence?
Limerence.
I can use it in a sentence for you. In the classic SNL sketch, Celebrity Jeopardy, Sean Connery frequently would recite dirty limerence.
I don't know if that's the correct usage of it, but...
He would say dirty limericks. It was a joke.
Oh, don't let him throw you off. It's not limericks.
He threw me off.
Oh no, I'm off.
limerence. L-I-M-O-U-R-A-N-C-E.
Limerence?
I figured it was maybe a throw-off. Every single one's been a throw-off, so...
L-I-M-E-R-E-N-C-E.
I'm just curious what happens if anyone spells the word correctly.
I really want to go into it, but, you know...
I feel like so far this is just chess 1.0 with spelling.
I'm trying, guys. I'm trying.
Really dumb it down, Mark. Come on now. You know how smart we are.
All right, okay. Wade, what's your move?
Papa's move is... pawn to H3.
Pawn to H3. Okay. All right. Really putting that bishop in threat for all the listeners. Bishop's at G4.
He's threatening my bish.
He's threatening the bish.
Oh, I don't get to move yet. I was about to move already. That's fine.
No, you have to spell first. If you get it right, you might be in trouble. If you get it wrong, like, we just keep playing chess.
Bob, your word is eschewal.
Oh, come on.
Eschewal.
Can you give me the definition?
The act of avoiding or shunning something.
Sure. That was my guess, but I generally know what that... It's the word eschew is what mm-hmm. this is based on, but it doesn't mean I know how to spell it. Eschewal. E-S-C-H-E-W-E-L.
Ah!
A shewl.
Oh, it's an A-L.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, my God. Well, more chess.
I don't want to play chess anymore.
You got to play chess. You got to.
I don't want to play the chess anymore.
All right, what's your move?
Bishop to h5.
Bishop to h5, retreating. Not in cowardice, though. In bravery.
Retreating in dumbness.
No. Okay. Wade, your word is mnemonic.
Oh, crap.
Okay.
Oh.
PNEUMONIC.
Oh, no. Is that wrong?
Right. Is that right? That's what I thought that was right.
You're thinking of pneumatic and the type of spelling that has with the silent P. Mnemonic has a silent M. M-E-N. M-N-E. Oh, I can't even do it. God damn it.
Like mnemonic plague.
I could have given you the... I should have given you the...
Okay, all you gave me was mnemonic, and there is a mnemonic spelled like
that. You should have asked for the definition. It's not on me. You should have asked for the definition.
You know what? You're right. It's my fault. My bad.
Make your goddamn chess move. God, chess 3's potential is slipping through our hands.
But the records show I spelled mnemonic correctly.
It's not my job!
I don't fucking know, man. Horse to c3.
Horse to c3. Horse is coming out to play.
He attacks nothing boldly.
Bob, this one might be up your alley, given your history with this language.
Okay.
Your word is schadenfreude.
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 You're right. I should know how to spell this.
Oh, no.
Hang on. I'm thinking. Can I ask, are there any umlauts that I need to care about in spelling this?
No umlauts that I see.
Can you give me the definition just for good measure?
Pleasure derived by someone from another person's misfortune.
Sure. Okay. Schadenfreude. S-C-H-A-D-E-N-F-R-E-U-D-E. Schadenfreude.
Yes! Finally! Okay. Finally! Oh my God.
What happens now?
All right, so all this pomp and circumstance and buildup, I was expecting this to happen a lot sooner. So don't be underwhelmed, okay?
I'm regular whelmed, just to explain it.
This better blow my fucking brain.
Bob, you can now make any move.
Any move at all.
You can do anything.
Yeah, I feel like I know what I want to do immediately.
Except take his king.
Sure. Okay. I got the next best thing. My pawn at a7.
Uh-huh.
Takes his queen at e1.
Love that. I know where you're going with this. So, boom. This one's out. Would you like to promote?
Yes.
You got it.
Now I get two checkers stacked on top of each other, and he can move in every direction.
You got another queen.
Oh, wait, I gotta do that another layer. It's gonna ruin everything. Hold on. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Just copy a white queen. Copy the white queue and make it another layer.
Wait, who went first?
Me.
You're white, right?
Yeah, I'm white.
Okay, all right, okay.
No, gotcha. I'm white.
Okay,
I'm white.
Okay,
I'm
okay,
white.
Okay, all right, okay.
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Wade, you're in, believe it or not, check.
Check, baby.
What?
Remember, Wade, the game is chess 3. If you spell the word right, you can do anything.
I think I have to save my king.
I mean, you know, you could give up. You could do that if you spell your word right.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Okay. Go on. What's my word?
Give him one in Latin. He knows Latin. He's a philosopher.
I've got you, Wade. You got this one. It's right up your alley. Your word is pogonotrophy. Pogonotrophy.
Can you define it for me?
Yeah, the act of growing and grooming a beard.
And it's pronounced?
I have no fucking clue how it's pronounced.
That might affect my spelling, you know.
I pronounce it phonetically to try to assist you.
Great, can you pronounce it again?
Pogonotrophy.
Pogonotrophy. Was it right without the H?
Yeah. Why'd you put an H in there?
Okay, I removed the H.
Pogonotrophy. That's not what you said.
I said I'd like to remove the H.
He did say he'd like to remove the H, which is fair.
Yeah, you right about that.
You emphasized that second pogonotrophy. I swear you did.
No, he said pogonotrophy.
I could have gone pogonotrophy.
Fine, whatever. Can I make my move?
Yeah, make your move. You're in check.
What's your move, bud?
I'll have my king slide over to the queen.
All right. Oh, boom.
They're gonna make love, and then, like a praying mantis, he's gonna bite her head off.
That was a good move. That was the right way to handle that situation. Bob, all right, here we go. Your word is phallocyanine.
Phallo, like...
Phallocyanine.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Phallocyanine.
Phallocyanine.
Yes.
Can you spell it for him?
Phallocyanine. What does that mean?
It means a complex chemical compound used in dyes and pigments.
Oh, this is like Palo Blue. This is some painting with Bob Ross type stuff. No, phallocyanine. P-T-H-A-L-O.
Wrong.
I'm not done. C-Y-A-N-E-N-E. Phallocyanine.
Oh, man, not even close. You missed the H and the PH in the beginning, so it was wrong from the get-go.
P-H-T-H?
P-H-T-H, yes.
That's not English.
Well, it's thallocyanine, but it's got a PhD, so you have to put the PH in the front.
That PhD would insist. That's true. All right. Back to chess, baby. I'm going to go ahead and say horse to A6.
Horse to A6. All right. The charge has begun. All right, Wade. This is going to sound really scary. You can do this.
It's fine. It's fine, Wade.
I believe you know, and I believe in you. Your word is pseudo-hypoparathyroidism.
Double pseudo? Pseudo-pseudo-hypoparathyroidism?
Pseudo-pseudo-hypoparathyroidism.
That's a long word.
Pseudo-pseudo-hypoparathyroidism?
That's a big word for Elmo.
Pseudo-pseudo-hypoparathyroidism.
Pseudo-pseudo-hypoparathyroidism. P-S-E-U-D-O. P-S-E-U-D-O. H-Y-P-O. P-A-R-A. T-H-Y-R-O-I-D-I-S-M.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No.
So, Wade, in Chess 3, when you spell a word right, you get to do whatever you want. And I mean... whatever you want. Reality is your plaything.
That's a lot more broader of an introduction than I was given, I feel like, when I spelled a word.
I didn't want you to go nuts. I thought this would be way earlier in this episode. I thought way at the beginning that he'd like have an escalation of like...
I think Wade and I should host the next one and just embarrass Mark by having him try and spell a bunch of shit.
Listen, I thought you guys were smarter than this, but apparently not. Everyone who's imagining this chessboard in your head is having the time of their lives.
All right, I know what I want. I want my pawn that's currently sitting at A2 to take his queen and then queen me.
Wow. The imagination on this guy.
You know, believe it or not, I'm actually thinking further ahead than you'd think. I know what you're doing and I know what you have to do because it's what I had to do. But I have another idea that would come later from this. Depending on whether or not you get to, I don't know, blow fucking blue smoke and destroy me too.
All right, so that was a crazy move.
I know, I'm very imaginative. I feel like I've just done what Bob's done, minus moving my horse one time.
Yes, that is what you
A little bit, a little bit.
All right, okay, Bob, I'm going to try to tone down the complexity of the word for your tiny brain, but it's okay. Your word is abscond.
Ooh, can you give me the definition, please?
To leave hurriedly or or secretly, typically to avoid detection or arrest.
Abscond.
Abscond.
Abscond. A-B-S-C-O-N-D. Abscond.
Correct!
All right.
Now, Bob, feel the power coursing through your groin, riding up through your spine, shooting out of your fingertips as you see the board in front of you and all of the potential of your godlike powers.
Replace your own king with a queen. You won't.
I can do anything that I want.
Yeah, the only limitation is that you cannot straight up kill Wade's king.
This is technically going to be a move perpetrated by my king, but there's going to be some follow-on activities.
Okay, sounds good.
My king is quite the charismatic fellow. He talks up the brand new queen that has just appeared next to him. He talks about how there used to be a black queen that lived over with the other king. This one might notice that she's next to him and across the entire world from her so-called king. After they talk and talk and chat and chat, eventually he converts this black queen to join his side, and she becomes a white queen of the skies.
Of the skies? Like with wings?
She takes the helm of her B-52 bomber and does a strafing bombing run down the entire one column of the board. And I am a vengeful god, but I am a just god. Can we say there's some sort of chance, maybe a dice roll or something?
Yeah.
That for each square down the one column, the king is invincible in his bunker, but for each other square, there's, oh my god, he drew a bomber. So for H1, G1, F1, C1, and A1, there's some kind of, I don't know, 50-50, 30%, whatever you deem fair.
Right, you're going from, okay, so just to reiterate, your newly converted lover queen has been converted over to the white side, has transformed into a B-52 bomber, and started a strafing run from E8 all the way to H1.
Also, let me just say, she's so dedicated that even though she knows she won't have enough fuel to make it all the way home, she's going to commit to the strafing run and then ditch the plane, and she might not survive.
All right, we'll do a roll for where she ends up, like, upon parachuting. So we're gonna see who's in the path.
Okay, we can really go outside the box on this. Okay.
Yeah, no, well, he prompted you to say, he literally was like, anything.
Anything. Reality bends to your whims.
Really would have been, God, I wish I listened to you.
That's why I was so mad when he gave you that setup, but then you were very polite and you just mirrored my move.
Well, I just wanted to match you. Yeah, I just wanted to match you. I want to keep it fair.
All right, so the B-52 bombing strafe run is going to hit the pawn, unfortunately, at E5 for collateral damage, the white pawn. However, in the targeted path, judging by the wingspan, we've got three of Wade's pawns at F2, G2, and H3, as well as a clip of the bishop. I'll give him some, like, bonus defense on there. But horsey and rook are directly in the path, so let's start these rolls.
Wait, this one column with two pawns is turning into a side swipe of everything I have now?
Yeah. Look at the wingspan on the B-52. That's a big behemoth.
You know, that's true. Actually, the whole board should be consumed by it, to be honest.
Well, I mean, all right, let's be fair. This is a battlefield, so a B-52 isn't that big. Like, it's big, but it wouldn't be able to bomb the entirety of this field. But three pawns.
I feel like my guys with swords and spears don't stand much of a chance against a bomber. This is...
All right, we're going to spin a wheel.
You should have invented some cooler shit on your turn, I guess, huh?
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. That's not the right wheel spin. Okay, all right, I've got a 66% chance of death, 33% chance of life for everyone except the bishop, who's a solid 50-50. So first up is the white pawn, because this is a B-52, its bomb and run is pretty, like, it's pretty rare. All right, unfortunately, this white pawn, collateral damage, is dead. That was the pawn for those making mental maps, that's the one at E5. All right, E5 is, pawn is dead. We're rolling for H3.
H3. Oh, H3 lives.
Oh, well, okay, come on then.
H3 pawn felt the bombs going down, duck for cover. Let's go G2 pawn. Oh, G2 pawn lives.
Well, that's just unlikely.
You didn't want me to show it, but that's what's happening.
I believe you.
Good. All right, G2 pawn, you got your third pawn here in F2. F2's gonna bite the dust. F2 got a face full of bomb.
All right, goodbye, F2. It was a valiant effort.
Oh, there's a one-to-one trade right there. That's rough.
All right, we got H at G1, horsey at G1. God damn, Wade, your troops are strong.
Oh, come on.
H wins. H lives. Holy shit. All right, we got rook here, though. I swear to God, Bob, I swear to God, I spun the wheel. Rook lived.
Okay.
But I'm gonna give Bishop a 50-50, because, I mean, at this rate, this is probably gonna kill him, honestly. But this is for the Bishop who got clipped on the side. Sorry, Bob. Bishop lived.
I killed one of my pawns and one of your pawns.
And now the queen's gonna ditch the B-52, and we're gonna see if the queen, with her parachute, and this is her parachute, is gonna live.
Bob, you should never depend on wheels or rolls.
It's okay, because Queen lived, but Queen is kind of over here off the board. Probably needs a search and rescue opportunity for captive. Wade.
Queen is off the far top right corner of the board in no man's land. Got it.
Yeah, exactly. Queen's right here. This is the B-52 bomber. It crashed into the corpse pile.
I essentially just traded a queen for a pawn. I traded one of my queens and pawns for a pawn.
Oh, and also your king woke up in the other queen's beds. So
yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. That's fair.
How that happened. All right, Wade, you want your word?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, let's spell some more. We just had a queen bombing run on a chessboard. Yeah, let's go back to spelling.
No, come on. The spelling was supposed to be just a quick little snippet to get to the action.
All right, let's do it. Give me my word.
Your word is dichotomy.
Dichotomy. Define it before I spell the wrong one.
A division or contrast between two things that are represented as being opposed or entirely different. Dichotomy.
Okay, I believe dichotomy is spelled D-I-C-H-O-T-O-M-Y.
Yes, that is correct. Wade, you're back on top. Do you feel the power surging through your butt cheeks?
Oh, I do.
The B-52 is out of gas, just to be clear, okay? So that's basically out of play.
Kind of a little crashed, but...
Yeah, it crash landed. It's disabled.
It was cushioned by the corpses, so... Pretty good.
I bet if you do the exact same bombing run, you kill every single one of the things that you attack on my side.
Yeah, I can't believe the curse of Bob is following you, because those were like 2-1 odds on 4 of those rolls. And man, they won. They beat the odds every time. That's incredible. Wade, would you like to tempt fate?
I should have just said I just kill a bunch of shit. Like, whatever. I was too nice.
You gotta be imaginative.
I want to try to convince Bob's peas to flip.
All of my peas?
I want all of his peas to flip to me. I want a chance to flip them.
Okay, which piece of yours is doing this convincing?
Oh, man. It's got to be G1H.
This horse?
My horse. He'll be hoarse from talking by the time he's done convincing these peas.
So what is he saying to the... Let's just say, assume he comes out. White flag.
Give his speech.
Give his speech. What's he saying?
Look, you've lost at least 2 queens. You saw, even with advanced technology, that we withstood. We've survived bombs from the sky. What chance do you have? You're merely pawns in this war. Join us. We will teach you the keys to your survival. We will overthrow your tyrant king, who switches queens on a whim, and you could be on the winning side.
Wow, that was kind of threatening, kind of passionate. I put a wheel up here, 1 through 6, because there's 6 pawns. We're going to see how many convinced, okay? Spinning. Oh, it was almost 6. 1. 1 was convinced. It was like right there. I thought it was going to land on 6. 1, this one who witnessed his friend get blown up by the bombing run is like, I'll do it. I'll switch.
Well, Bob, you and I, our imaginations run wild, and the results are usually less interesting.
So now there's a horse at F5 and a pawn, a black horse at F5 and a black pawn at E5. I think everyone knows where the other ones are, so we don't need to update that.
And therefore, it's Bob's turn to spell.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Your word is maelstrom.
Maelstrom. This is when a mailman wears a G-string, right?
That's one of the definitions, yes.
Maelstrom. M-A-E-L-S-T-R-O-M. Maelstrom.
Correct!
That was one I actually knew.
It's a common spell in, like, RPGs, too, so I know how to spell that one. Because I played Shaman, and I think there's a Maelstrom spell. Bob, what's your move?
Can I do one move and then have one thing happen that's unrelated to the move, but just happens on its own accord?
If it feels justified, I'll allow it.
Okay, I would like this to happen. The king is terrified. Things are not looking good for him. He panics and he tries to shove his way all the way to H8. And as he goes, he's just like, oh, excuse me. And he's just like pushing the guys out of his way. So everyone shifts down one spot and the king assumes a spot in H8, cowering away from everything, everything in existence, just trying to hide in the corner.
Oh, man, I am okay with this move. So the king, who was at E8, plowed his way through to H8, and everyone who saw the king coming was like, oh my God, it's the king. Oh God. And then, you know, the bishop pushed the pawn. So now rook, horse, bishop are at H7, G7 are in the sevens. Pawns are in the sixes of F, G, and H. King is at H8.
And then what else I would like to have happen is unrelated to that. It turns out that the horse at A6 for me, the knight is fine, but the horse was actually infected with bubonic plague. The horse got plague madness and escaped from the knight and charged straight up the A column and ended up biting the rook in A1.
So you move seven pieces and you're killing my rook. Okay.
The theoretical way this works is if it succeeds and the rook gets the plague spreads to the next closest piece each time the next person goes. So it would go from the rook to the pawn and then to either to the H or the B. It would spread one player at a time if it is allowed.
If I don't move the rook at the end of the turn or at the start of the turn?
It still spreads to the next closest piece, but it spreads to the next closest piece for either side.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do for you. Yes, I will allow your horse to be infected with bubonic plague. Yes, it will flee. You don't know which direction it's going to go. Okay. So I've got a wheel with east, west, and north. So it could go towards the because this is two moves, but wait, does this sound fair? It could go that way.
It's fine. Let's do it.
Towards his other rook, or it could go north towards those pawns. So let's see where this is. As you can see, I put green dots for bubonic plague.
Yeah, it's slightly greened for yeah, got it.
It's going north.
Oh boy.
Oh no! In its madness, it charges up north to where the pawns just pushed into.
Oh, north is you. That makes sense. Okay.
Pounces on this pawn, biting it immediately, infecting the pawn with the bubon.
Oh, it's not even a roll. It's just infected.
Yes, they're both on this. They've merged into a horse pawn. A porse, if you will. A parse.
All of this went differently than I expected, Bob.
I'm just letting it evolve. I'm just intrigued.
Yeah, so now every turn, not on Bob's turn, but wait, at the end of your turn, this horse is going to move in a random direction. It's currently at F6, and it's going to absorb and grow stronger with every piece that it absorbs.
Can I theoretically say, once over half the board is infected with the plague, all plague members die, and there's maybe a chance that it lingers or something, or there's got to be a way to clear the dead, right? So at some point, I'll let you even pick it, but at some point, people infected with the plague die in some way.
All right, let's say the disease will progress. Now the horse has yellow dots. It's like, oof, man, that hurt. So now there's yellow, and the pawn is going to have...
The pawn is just green for right now. Got it.
Then when it gets red on the next turn, it dies. All right, your word is gossamer.
Gossamer, can you define that?
Gossamer is something very light, thin, or insubstantial. It's very delicate.
Okay, not super familiar with this one, but I'll spell it for you. Gossamer. G-O-S-S-I-M-E-R.
So close. It's A-M-E-R.
All right, I have a boring move then.
It doesn't have to be boring.
I could end the plague with a pawn.
That's true. You could kill the plague horse, I guess.
Well, your pawn would become infected.
But instead, I'm going to have my A1 rook take out Bob's A8 rook.
That's a good move. Who knew that regular chess was still in play here? Boom! Rook goes to A8. It puts king.
I can't end the plague that quickly. The plague, it does its thing.
My God. The king is in check, but now the horse pawn.
So now the horse can go, what, four directions?
Now it's horse time. Yeah, the horse goes one of four directions every turn, and then it infects and takes over whatever space it hits.
And it's going to go...
Come on, east.
It's going back south.
Oh, you piece of shit horse.
Oh, God, it's a double PPH.
But the H part of it is starting to grow. Well, I got to get the yellow on the P first. So the P is getting a little yellowed. And then the H is like one turn left before it bites the dust. And then that's how it'll die. Like, it'll eventually, if it doesn't get enough things. And when you attack it, you take off one of its things. Its oldest, most dead thing will go away.
Does it infect the closest one still? Like, does it infect that P that's next to it?
Because it goes in any direction, it could hit anything, but it has to hit it. Otherwise, it would be, like, out of control. Everything would die in the face of this horrible monstrosity.
That's kind of what I was going for, but that's okay. That's okay.
Your word is taciturn.
Taciturn. Yeah, what's the definition?
It's about a person who is reserved or uncommunicative in speech, who says very little.
Taciturn. T-A-C-I-T-E-R-N. Taciturn.
So close. It's T-U-R-N.
God damn it.
All right, but you still can make a move.
Well, I think there's pretty much one move that I can make. Actually, there's a couple. There's a couple. Horsey to E-8.
All right, horsey to E8, blocking that check.
Good move, good move.
And let's see where this horse is going to go.
Come on, plague horse. Come on, plague horse.
It might go west. It's going west.
Yes, it takes out the rook.
Yeah, poof, it's bam. All right, the horse part, though, died. So it's like...
The horse is now dead, right?
It charged so fast, the horse actually ran into the rook and obliterated into, like, decomposing pieces. Limbs went flying, meat went everywhere. Just a shower of bubon all over this poor rook. The pawn is now really not looking kind of explodey. If there's a red one and it charges and explodes, is there splash damage?
Yes, there is.
Absolutely. A shower of gibbets infected this pawn here. It got a mouthful of horse goo.
Wait, do we have to roll for what direction it goes to?
Yes.
Now this rook is part of the greater pawnglomerate, and these will both, at the end of the next turn, they will both go in different directions, or the same direction, but they're in different spots, and the plague will continue.
Yes, it's happening!
Horses everywhere.
Horses cooked. Horses pooped. Everywhere.
Yeah. Actually, if you think about it, there's a piece of this horse. Let's see right over here.
Mark is currently cutting up the horse into bits and spreading it around.
There's one there. A little horse over there. Yeah, that's one. And then horse there. Yep. There's horse pieces all over it. Really blasted.
And it really did explode.
Wade, your word. Zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist. Define it for me.
It is the defining spirit or mood of a particular period of history as shown by the ideas and beliefs of a time. The zeitgeist of the era.
Z-E-I-T-G-E-I-S-T.
Correct!
No, there's no H in there? Zeitgeist?
Not that I'm seeing. No, there's no H. Maybe a different language has maybe German has the definition there, but here, it's zeitgeist with no H. Wade, what shall you do with your godly powers?
I want to spread some love, so I'm just going to put that newly fashioned P right where Bob's rook is on H7 and slide that rook down to G7.
You're catapulting this pawn to right here on this
yep.
rook. So let's roll for this other pawn here where it's going to roll and explode. North? No, it's going east. Okay. So east, this one is rocketing over this way. The P gets ahead of the R, splatters into a bajillion pieces, smattering this P in a shower of goo. Excrement. Much, much excrement.
So Wade's pawn at B2 is now plagueified. Got it.
Yes, and this R is now over here, and it needs... And let me bring one of these body parts over so I can get the sample of the yellow so I don't have to open it up every time. It's not feeling so
so good, Mr. Stark. The pawn over in H7 is... It's foaming at the mouth. It's going to pick a direction. It's going... Ooh! It's going east! Again! Bam! It's a double P situation.
We got the green PP again.
So we got a double P in a very dangerous spot for Bob. If he doesn't get this spelling right, he's in trouble. Bob, your word is capricious.
Oh, God.
Given to sudden and unaccountable changes of mood or behavior. Capricious.
Okay, I know how to spell all of it except for one letter, and I have to just guess on it. Capricious. C-A-P-R-I-C-I-O-U-S. Capricious.
Correct! What do you do?
The king needs a little consolidation. I think he's happy with what's going on the far side of the board, potentially. He's worried. He's very selfish. He's very cowardly. My king, at the top of his voice, however loudly he might be able to scream, maybe it's 3 blocks, 4 blocks away, however loudly, just looks around and makes eye contact with as many, the rook and the pawn and the bishop and as many of his guys over there as he can. And he just goes, get him! And points at the double pawn. As many people as he could get their attention, they pile on the double pawn and try and take out the bubonic plague.
All right, okay. So you said he's got a 4-block radius on his scream?
Yes.
All right, so this ain't no horse in their charisma. This is a king. So the king not only gets the rook, pawn, the bishop of yours and this horse of yours, but also reconvince this captured pawn. Oh God, what was I doing? The horse stays here because it didn't want it, but this pawn's fickle. He's switching sides all over the place. So now all of these guys are on this bubon. It seems kind of unhealthy.
It's not red. It's not going to explode. So they're not in danger of getting kersploded on.
This is correct. What I'll say is this definitely is going to kill the double pawn under there. But I don't think people are going to get unscathed from this move.
Are people going to die or get infected? Because I would rather they die, I think.
Let's see. If they all dogpile at once, it's not likely that this, you know, this poor son of a bitch, he's definitely getting infected. All right, let me act this out. They're all like turn and get him. The ones that were closest were the bishop, the rook, the pawn here were the closest ones. This one felt bad and really got up in there. Timing was all over the place, so he was in there. The horse was lagging behind, the bishop was lagging behind. That's when this thing was starting to die. It thrashed. It tries to make an escape in its random direction that it doesn't know, but it's not going to go all the way. But you'll see what I'm doing here in a second.
Okay.
So it tries to go to the south, and this is why this poor hapless bastard got in the way. He was like, I can't do this! And he was right here, and then this thing goes, shit, splits in half because it's being rended, and it's just like, poof! This thing gets obliterated. This pawn, mouth full of goo, full of bubon, like all bubon really piled on this guy, but he switched sides. He was like defecting at the last moment, so he came up here. He was like, ah, king, my king, and then he got a mouthful of bubon. So that's really karma there. This one's dead. That killed him. Then I'll just roll for these to see which one was in the path also and got pushed out of the way and is now infected. Oop, that's the whole board. Let's see. Let's give it 50-50. Live or bubon? Pawn lives. Pawn lives. Strong pawn. So that's in the dog pile. Let's see. This rook. Rook. Strong immune system on that rook. Rook lives. Rook's good. Let's go for this bishop.
I knew Chance would pick my side eventually.
God damn it. Bishop. Strong. Everyone's yes. Good. It's only
50-50 chance, my butthole.
This fickle bastard who's now on your side, but also infected. And he's, I'm going to say that he retains half of his humanity so he can remember what he did and how he betrayed you. So you might have some influence over him, but it's really going to be tough to control him. He is buboned.
Finally, a good trade. God dang.
All right. We're going for this rook down here, which is about to go red.
Come on, north.
It's going north. Ooh, it might be west. It's north.
Yes.
Sorry, it's trailing bubon.
Oh, boy. His skin's coming off.
We got P. Bubon. P. Bubon is going uselessly.
Come on, north.
Nah, it's going south. South. Ah, goes into a corner.
That's not helpful. Go west.
All right, so we got P. Bubon here. This one's about to blow, by the way, just so you know. It's got a...
Yes.
Yeah, I see that. That seems bad.
And then, Bob, do you want to whisper any last words to this one before it goes? Try to guide it in a direction.
I walk up to him and I clap my hand on his shoulder and then I pin a note to his chest and that says, "Go east." And I look him in the eye. I say, "All is forgiven, brother. Go east."
All right. So he's got a sticky note on his chest. It says, hold on.
Marcus currently crafting a sticky note on the P's chest. Hang on. Go east. Got it. With a smiley face. I would put a smiley face. That's good. Does that like improve my odds of him going east or something?
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely that improves your odds. Traumatically. So I'm gonna put it like what's the worst way he could go would be north. I'm gonna put it north, east, east, east.
Look, man, I'm biased here, but I definitely don't like the 1 and 4. I would have liked the 1 and 3, maybe.
Come on, east.
Okay. It was east. It was very close to north. It was very close.
Oh, come on.
It was closer than you would have liked, but he's going. He's still loyal.
He charges east.
Kablam, right next to this king. It is danger close for Wade here. If he can't spell this next word, it spells doom.
I might be in trouble.
That's okay. They're gonna go directly away from your king next turn, no question. Everyone's gonna go in the worst possible direction for me, and it's gonna be fun.
The bubon pawn is an e2. King's black king is an e1. Piss puddle is in d2.
Wade's king is in a bad spot. Bad spot.
I feel like Bob would think this one is fair, and you might think it's fair, because there's no way you don't know what this is, but it might be tough to spell. Your word is kaleidoscope.
Kaleidoscope. K-A-L-E-I-D-O-S-C-O-P-E.
That's correct!
No!
That's correct. All right. You are in check in so many ways, Wade. What do you do?
He's actually not technically in check, I guess. He's just in a terrible place.
He's in peril.
But, like, you don't have to move your king. You just want to move your king. Or do something. You want to help him.
What I want to do might be a bit too overpowered.
You got the power of gods in your veins.
I want to swap all black pieces with their corresponding white piece and location.
Does that include
K for K, right. H for H, B for B?
What about all the bubonic pieces?
Now, those are their own thing now. They're morphed and horrible.
But they are still have colors and they have corresponding pieces.
Well, this one is P and P, so it's really just like, yomp. The other one goes under it, you know, or over it, or whatever. They swap places. Okay, I gotta hold on. What about the ones that don't have mirror images?
They stay where they are.
Okay, here's the deal. I'm gonna let you do this, but it's through some wicked science. So if there's a piece that doesn't match up, it clones a piece. And then there's a copy.
And I get that copy?
Yeah. Everyone who doesn't have a pair suddenly has a pair. They're just in the other location, right? So this one's fine. This one pairs with that. That's obvious. We got this H with this H, but there's no H here. So it's going to move over, and now there's a double horsey action over here, but now there's two horsies. This one just materialized into existence. It's very confused. We got this P is now in this orgy. Very confused. This R here. This B here. But this B is also... man, where would here, I guess, yeah. And then there's another B that appeared here. Doesn't know what the fuck happened. This P... I'm just going to say that another P just spawns it. Now they're here and they're looking at each other like, what the fuck? Spider-Man meme. The kings have swapped.
And there's one more P on D3, I think, that you don't have accounted for yet.
Man, what happens to you? There's got to be at least one time accident here. So this P...
So now you got a one and a backwards C. God knows what they do.
Okay. Okay, good.
Don't forget the rolls.
Right. The rolls. The possibly game-ending rolls of this.
Yeah, that seems a little like bullshit, but I think the bubonic characters should have switched around, but that's fine.
Hey, you know what? You made this plague. I'm just using your field.
Yeah, and it's really benefited only me so far. You're right.
Bob, I gotta roll the three east and one north for that one.
Swear to God, if you get north this time.
And that's definitely not gonna happen.
There we go. He's going east.
Oh my God, did I win? Did I pull this off?
Pull this off? This game you've been clearly winning the whole time? Did you win it? Oh my God, I can't believe the come from ahead victory, Wade!
If I didn't spell that last word right, man, I was fucked and you know it.
The win from in front is unprecedented! I can't believe it!
I was completely fucked one round ago! I was surrounded on like three sides!
For the first time in the entire game, you did not have a massive advantage on me. And then you won? Unbelievable.
I'm going to give it the same odds as a B-52 bombing, because there's no way that it would, at least if he survives, he's infected, but it's three turns. But I'm going to give it the same odds as a Bubon or a B-52 bomber, which happened in this game. It's live, die, die. Oh!
My king lives?
He lives. He lives.
You know, the only clever thing I've done is swap black and white. Everything else is self-inflicted. You did this to you.
Yeah, but you're complaining about it. That's the thing that makes me mad.
Complaining about it? I'm just saying I was in a shit hole.
You're not just like, ah, man, I'm winning. That's so funny. You're like, ah, I can't believe I'm winning now. I've been winning and I am still winning. It's so crazy.
I was fucked around to go, man. If I didn't spell right, I was done for.
I have no idea who's winning, but all I know is that this pawn, it, with its note from the king and the smile that this king wrote, frowns as it explodes, and he just manages to veer off course enough to obliterate himself, still spewing ungodly amounts of bubon all over the king. Just horrendous amounts of bubon everywhere. Yeah, he's gonna die soon, but maybe he's got one last action. I'll give you one last thing if you can get this question right, Bob.
Well, wait, the other two you have to roll for, right?
Yeah, that's not even remotely the end of it.
Oh, shit, wait, no, all right, this king might be dead. Never mind, hold on.
Well, there's still half of my pee there.
Yeah, technically it should hit that, whatever that is, right? a backwards C isn't nothing.
All right, he's going. Let's see where he goes. Let's see.
Come on, south, I guess.
It's going north.
Oh my God, okay.
Right.
What does the half of a pee do?
I don't know. All right, so it splits in half, but we got a time bomb in here. I don't know where they were at. Either way, it would splash onto the king. So I think there is like a, ooh, it didn't quite hit fully, but it's still with the red explosion.
Well, he's already infected, right?
Yeah, but now he's progressed to another stage. Just like...
No, he's yellow already?
He's yellow. It was a waterfall of boob. He got hit by two infected things. Two doubly infected things.
But he's a king.
Yeah, that's why he's still standing. Otherwise, he'd lose his mind and be, you know, helpless.
He had the same likelihood of surviving that a bishop did earlier, but he's a king, so...
I'll put a northeast on this wheel if you keep talking. All right, but this one rolled east, so then this one's over here and it's red. So Bob, you got one last opportunity to spell a word right.
Well, if I don't spell this word correctly, it's getting pretty much over, I think.
It's gonna be anticlimactic.
I don't even know how to play anymore with PBR, H, half P, HH, BB.
I've given... Oh, I thought you were talking about the words you were spelling, not the things on the board.
We have a PP that is both of our pieces in one.
All right, Bob, I'm not gonna give you a super easy one.
Okay.
Your word is obdormition.
Is what?
Obdormition.
Define it?
Numbness or going to sleep of a limb, usually caused by a compression of the sensory nerves. And I'm trying to pronounce it as phonetically as I can.
Obdormition.
Obdormition.
Obdormition. O-B-D-O-R-M-I-D-I-O-N. Obdormition.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. Oh. That is 100% correct.
My king looks at his surroundings, looks at the pustules forming on his skin all over his body, feels utterly defeated, doesn't even want to do anything, he's basically given up emotionally, thinks that all is lost, stares down to the south at the further exploding bubonic mass that's going to come at him next turn, undoubtedly. And as my king wallows in self-pity, basically giving up the fight completely, his twin team of bishops approach him from the north wing of the castle that he's inherited. And they are carrying keys and a silver briefcase.
Oh god, okay.
That says top secret plans on it.
All right, hold on.
And they give the king the briefcase silently, and he reads about the Black Kingdom's system of mutually assured destruction that they had created.
Oh man,
that
okay.
They feared the power of the White Kingdom, and they knew that they might one day need to have the threat of mutually assured nuclear destruction. And the bishops hold up their keys, and the king rummages around this king desk and finds a third, even bigger key. And they all go into the top secret room, and the bishops put their keys into the console, and the king puts his big king key into the console, and a big red button.
Oh, cool. Hold on.
Pops out.
Hold on.
You better keep drawing.
I'm not slowing down, Mark. A big red button pops out of the console. Above it, a microphone, and a computer voice says, "Vocal identification, please." And the king glances side to side at both of his bishops and says into the microphone with very little confidence, "I am the king. I command you to fire the missiles." And I'm going to let you pick the odds here, Mark.
Uh-huh.
Does his vocal authentication satisfy the top secret computer system? Are the nukes launched into the air or not?
Is this the Black King system or his system?
This is the Black King system, yeah.
This is the Black King system, so this is not made for him, but he is a king.
So if there's one thing I know about this king is that he's charismatic.
Yeah.
This guy has incredible charisma. I'm going to roll a d20, and I'm going to give you, what in D&D would a charisma bonus normally be?
An 18 would be like a plus 4.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a full plus 4 on this roll. Wade, you do D&D more. What would be like a difficult roll? Like he has to get a certain amount.
I mean, it can be anywhere from like a 16 to a 30. Like you can have DCs above 20.
Well, let's say it's 16. Right? That's pretty difficult to overcome.
I get a plus 4 and I have to roll 16?
Well, so here's how it actually works. You have a skill, right? You'd have like persuasion, which you would have skill points in. Then you would add your charisma modifier and proficiency bonus on top of that if you were expertise or whatever, which you probably would be. So you could have a DC of 30, but he'd have like a plus 11.
I'm just going to say I'm going to roll a D20 and you got a plus 4. You got to get above 15, let's say.
So you need a 16 or higher.
So I'm going to roll and we'll add to it, right? Correct.
Basically, Bob needs a 16 or higher.
12 or higher.
I said 15.
You said above a 15.
What happens if he meets it?
That wouldn't be above it. Do you want it to be a 15?
Well, he got an 11.
Uh-oh.
What you said out loud was above a 15. What if you meant 15 or higher?
I thought I said he had it. Oh, I'm not trying to bend the rules here.
But if you want it to be a 15, I'll allow it.
How about I just flip a coin at this point? All this math is terrible.
You know what, Bob? I'll defer to you. Am I remembering wrong? Did he say above a 15 or did he say 15 or higher?
I'm trying to think and I can't remember what he specifically said. I was thinking he meant a 15 or higher because I thought he meant 16 or higher originally.
It's time. You call this. I'm going to throw it in the air. I'll pick it up with the triangle of fairness, and it is what it is.
Okay, heads is the side that says Sony or whatever. Tails is the inside that face Sigma. Okay.
Ready, 3, 2, 1.
Tails.
I'm triangle of fairnessing.
There's no way I actually win one of these finally. Oh my god.
It fell just as thus. If you look at this, the side that's up is the side that was up on the ground. So that's sure. The side it is. This doesn't help because if we do the triangle of fairness like this, it shows the other side. So we have to do this. This is the true triangle of fairness.
Ah, the diamond of fairness.
It's Tails. Can you see it? It's Tails. Can you see it?
Okay, the missiles are being fired. What does that mean?
The nukes fly. All right, so here's what happens.
Okay, yeah, that's not even a guaranteed kill on Wade's king or anything necessarily, right? So
the moment the teleportation happened, the king found himself in the other bunker and saw that he had new twin horses with him, and was immediately concerned at his own hubris for allowing this to occur over here. He knew how charismatic the other king was, so he started rooting around the other castle for an equivalent set of keys from an equivalent set of bishops. And you know who's here? It's not only horses, but it's bishops all day. I think this is a mutually assured destruction scenario. You launch nukes from every single one of these black squares, or white squares, opened up and launched a nuke. This king got a fucking obliterated. It was right underneath it. Blam, blam, blam. All these blam, blam out of here. But at the same time, this guy activated the nukes over here. Blacks all opened up. Blam, blam. Oof.
Hey, it didn't hit my king.
That is interesting. It didn't hit his king.
So everything except for Wade's king is theoretically dead currently, and one bubonic plague pawn in the bottom right.
That is a fascinating coincidence. That is really something. In a weird way, where we have to have a winner from after a nuke occurs, I think the weird coincidental logic.
Can I say something? I feel like the roles mostly all favored me, and I think Bob would agree.
Mostly.
I think, Bob, I have to congratulate you for being the most creative person I could think of. You had the most creative ideas. I wish I had that kind of creativity.
Oh, really worked out great for everybody, so...
All right, here's something else that occurred, right? You remember this queen in exile over here? This queen was never dead. The queen spent the entire time...
Oh, she lived!
...fixing up the B-52, knowing that her love of her life was there, and right before the nukes flew, she managed to repair it after it crashed in the mountain. She siphoned some fuel out of things. She swooped for the king, and she did a low pass just as the missiles were about to launch out, and she grabs the king, swings over here, and then drops one last bomb on the king, and then flies off into the sunset forever and ever as all the bombs fall.
They don't, because he's sick with the plague.
That's true. All right, then. Bob, I'm really trying to make you not lose here. I'm really trying.
The radiation from all the nukes going off magically cures my plague.
That's it. Is that it?
No, that's way too far. Look, what if all of that happens, but the EMP from all the nuclear detonations knocks our plane out of the sky? Tragically, our plane crashes to the ground in like G7. Like, my queen saves me for a moment and we think we're gonna get our redemption, and then just all the electronics fry, the EMP knocks us out of the sky, we hold each other as we plummet down to the earth. There's no more parachutes because this plane's already crashed once. It's so close to getting it back.
Roll a wheel or flip a coin to see which king dies first.
We crash the plane into the building, the bunker that you're in, and one of us dies literal milliseconds before the other one dies.
All right, who's heads, who's tails?
I'm tails. Tails never fails. Wade's his heads, then.
All right, heads, beds.
Is the one who wins the one who dies or lives?
No, if it's your flip, you win, right? I'm gonna just move the camera because I don't want anyone thinking I'm goofing here. All right, and we're zooming in on it. Okay, you can't see what it is. Hold on, let me shine a light on it.
It's in frame, but it's a tiny little blurry dot.
Okay, hold on, I'm gonna turn up the ISO. There it is!
Oh, there it is. That's a tails. Fairly and squarely, I guess.
I hate leaving things up to chance. It only usually favors me.
It only favors you like 90% of the time.
To be fair, all of the things that went wrong were Bob's own machinations.
Spell machinations.
M-A-C-H-I-N-A-T-I-O-N-S.
Oh, you could do it that fast. Why did it take you so long to spell before?
Because there was a lot of high stakes words.
All right, fair enough. Well, anyway, by this totally fair and definitely not way too long game that went according to plan and everything went smooth, Bob's the winner!
But we're all dead.
Everyone's dead.
I didn't even get confirmation. I was just like, God, I hope he dies first. And then it engulfed in flame.
All right. Once again, Bob doesn't have to make a loser's speech, but I feel like he's dead, so he can't make a winner's speech either. Wade, you're dead as well. So no winner's speech, no loser's speech this week. If you enjoyed Chess 3, why don't you pick up the new boxed edition available through our merch store, which is 100% available right here, right now. I put so much thought into this. I planned it out so well. You guys can... I can't wait to go to the subreddit and hear your guys' unending praise. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Be sure to subscribe or follow or favorite or listen to the podcast more. Watch episodes, share with your friends, and we'll have more intelligent conversations. Never. Podcast out.